Hello and welcome to Giant Mess, a super sloppy sports and entertainment talk show that's hosted by a Giant Mess. That's me, the real cinch, Neil Lynch. On this here pod, we like to talk New York Giants football, Mets baseball, movies, TV, and comedy. I like to mix in some life lessons and funny stories along the way. On today's episode, The Beekeeper, a revenge action flick starring Jason Statham. So without further ado, let us get started up in here. Let's talk about The Beekeeper. It's an action thriller film directed by David Ayer? Ayer? And written by Kurt Wimmer? Vimmer? David Ayer directed Bright, 2017's Bright with Will Smith and... Forgot that guy's name already. That sucks because he's a really good actor. He was in Warrior. Was it Warrior? Yeah. And he was also in the invitation, the guest. I don't know. Really great actor. Sucks. I don't remember his name, but Bright. Were they like Joel Egerton? Bam. You know what? His brain's still cooking. So Joel Egerton plays like the ogre or troll. It's basically like where fantasy is reality based. Like there's a world where all the fantasy creatures that you know are like just naturally ingrained in the world, and it's totally normal reality. So like there are ogres or trolls, and Joel Egerton happens to play a troll that is a police officer, teams up with Will Smith, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if I liked it, but I liked it. And I was like, I just like how it's somewhat original. Definitely playing on, you know, a lot of the stuff that has come before it, but or influenced by a lot of that, you know, fantasy lore and whatnot. But I just like that it's like a new world, new universe to explore. I thought they were going to make a sequel. I don't think they're going to make a sequel, though, because I don't think it went over too well. But so, yeah, he directed that. He directed the not the good Suicide Squad that came out in 2021 with Idris Elba and John Cena. But the lesser of the two Suicide Squads, you know, The Inner Circle, we call it Suicide Squad that came out in 2016. Ironically, Harley Quinn, played by Margot Robbie, was in both, which I think is funny. And I'd like to see her how funny would that be if, like, no matter how many times they put out different variations of this friggin' universe, she's just always Margot Robbie. She's always Harley Quinn. Of course, that's not going to happen in the next Joker movie. Joker for the Duet, blah, blah, blah. Where it's going to be a musical, Lady Gaga is Harley Quinn. Cool. Which I don't hate. I just thought it'd be funny if, like, Margot Robbie, no matter who's running the show, whether it be, you know, James L., whoever the fuck, you know, it's always Margot Robbie. So, yeah, he directed that, which I don't know that, like, the direction sucked in that movie. I remember that being pretty decent. Direction wise, he also directed Fury with Brad Pitt, Shia LaBeouf, cast of characters. I liked Fury a lot. And End of Watch, the one with Jake Gyllenhaal and the last name is Michael Pena. Man, that was a good movie. I guess that's the best of his movies is End of Watch. So if you had to like get, you know, the best of David Ayer, it would be End of Watch, which weirdly enough was a lot of like, I think it was a lot of like handy cam, cell phone. Like it was all this other footage. It wasn't him necessarily directing, I guess. I don't know. So directed by David Ayer, written by Kurt Wimmer, whose credits include Ultraviolet, which was that movie starring Mila Jovovich, came out in 2006. The Recruit with Al Pacino and Colin Farrell that came out in 2003. Equilibrium with Christian Bale and Taye Diggs, which I think is his highest rated script. 7.3 out of 10. I think I gave it a 7. So I agree with that score. It came out in 2002. Very underrated, I think, underrated sci-fi movie. Considered one of the best, at least of the 21st century. Thomas Crown Affair. She came out in 99 with Pierce Brosnan and Rene Russo. Sphere, which was Was it a ripoff or knockoff of Event Horizon, or was it vice versa? I forget, but I feel like Sphere and Event Horizon were kind of right around the same time and dealt with a lot of the same stuff. There was a third one in there too. It was like Event Horizon, Sphere, and blah, blah, blah. The one with George Clooney. Is that Event Horizon? I think there's a one with George Clooney as well. Anyway, this one had Dustin Hoffman, Samuel L. Jackson, and Sharon Stone. It came out in 98. He wrote the screenplay for the remake of Point Break. It came out in 2015. The remake of Total Recall. It came out in 2012. And Salt, which came out in 2010 with starring Angelina Jolie, which was pretty decent. Did it get a sequel? No, I didn't think it got a sequel. But I thought, you know, you could do a sequel, I guess. Anyway, The Beekeeper stars Jason Statham as Adam Clay, Emmy Raver Lampman as Agent Verona Parker, Josh Hutcherson as Derek Danforth, Minnie Driver alert. When was the last time you saw Minnie Driver anywhere near a big screen? I mean, I didn't see it on, I saw it on my TV, which is decent size. Minnie Driver plays director Janet Harward. Felicia Rashad as Eloise Parker and Jeremy Irons as Wallace Westwild. My God, Jeremy Irons gives one hell of a performance. I feel stupid doing this review because I just listened to the How Did This Get Made episode where they reviewed it. So it's like they just fucking nailed it out of the park. So everything I'm going to say is basically just regurgitating that, but hopefully inserted some of my own original thoughts, you know, copyright Neil Lynch Productions. When his kind-hearted landlady dies by suicide after losing her charity's funds to a phishing scam, Adam Clay, a former quote-unquote beekeeper operative, sets out on a brutal campaign for revenge upon those responsible. Yeah. So, I mean, gotta give props to How Did This Get Made. They were basically like, okay, yeah, this is, a la John Wick, right? Guy who's put his past behind him in whether it be assassinations or whatever, espionage, you know, has moved on and is leading a quote unquote normal life, you know, off the grid, you know, laying low. Is then someone pokes the bear, right? Pokes the beast, and then he unleashes fury. Fury to the point of like the, I mean, you've seen The Equalizer, right? With Denzel. That kind of level of of revenge where it's just like, oh my God, dude, that is graphic and gruesome and I love it. So yeah, that's basically the story here. The fact that she committed suicide still to this very moment does not make sense to me and rubs me the wrong way. I just don't understand it. Like, okay, obviously your husband's not in the picture. You were estranged from your daughter who happens to be an FBI agent. And then you have your son who lost. He was a military veteran. Maybe he died in the war. So you're by yourself. You've worked your entire life. You're a former teacher. You've worked your entire life to get all these funds. And you get hoodwinked, right? Phishing scam by these scammers who convince you that, like, oh, you know, you need to download this software. And you need don't touch your keyboard while if you see something happening on your screen, blah, blah, blah. And like for her, who she seemed like, but prior to that, in the scene prior to that, we see her talking to Jason Statham, the beekeeper, who is, I guess, renting out the barn that she has on her property so that he can keep his bees, where he's the actual beekeeper. And so you see that conversation, you're like, this is a stable woman. Good head on her shoulders. She doesn't appear to be, flights of fancy type of thing where she's just like, you know, off a rocker. Seems like she's done well for herself. She's now retired, it looks like, you know, and then she gets scammed. And it's like she got all these fraud alerts. So you don't think the fraud team would kind of intervene and be like, all right, we can get it all back. No big deal. Don't worry about it. Hey, put down the gun. So the whole movie was like, okay, there's no way she committed suicide. Like, we're going to find out that it was really, you know, someone found out that she's got connections to blah, 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 and it goes deeper, and they have to, they realize that they need to eliminate her because if she gives, you know, tells so-and-so, you know, I just thought it was going to go that route. And I was like, nope, she just committed suicide. I was just like, holy fuck. Like, that's a pretty huge jump to make. I got fished. Time to end it. I don't know. Seems a bit extreme. I guess it was $2 million. They bankrupted her and stole over $2 million from a charity fund she manages. No. Yeah, it was, I don't know, I guess it wasn't even her own money. Okay. So Jason Statham as Adam Clay discovers her body just as, I guess, the authorities arrive and the FBI is there for some reason. Oh, because it's his, oh, because she finds out it's her mom. She's like, oh, something happened at your farm's farm. You want to go? So yeah, she ends up going. By the way, I was talking about Jeremy Irons' performance. It was phenomenal. This woman, Emma Raver Lampman, who plays Agent Verona Park. And who's the other guy? The other agent. Is it Bobby Nideri as Agent Matt Wiley? They make the FBI look so not dumb, but and not like inadequate. I don't even know what the word is I'm trying to go for, but just not like buffoons, but just like they don't have their shit together, maybe. Like a lot of the stuff that she was saying and doing, I just couldn't buy her as an FBI agent. But then I think that was maybe kind of the point, because they were like kind of poking fun at the FBI throughout the whole thing. And you know, even when like they're talking at the office, the office is leaking. And it's like that you can clearly see the guy in the background on the ladder is trying to fix a leak. And I was like, and it, you know, it's hard to not notice. It's been noticed by everyone who's seen the freaking movie. But it's like, what is this guy? What is he doing? What's happening? So, yeah, I was kind of half expecting him to just like fall off the ladder, or it was like, oh, that's a distraction for the person that's going to come and take them. I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking. So I didn't really necessarily buy her as agent, as the lead, I guess, protagonist in this whole thing. It just, I don't know, hard to wrap my head around. But it was like they inept. There it is. The FBI is inept. Like they have a plan. They've been trying to find this Fisher scamming ring for years, but have no leads. And then of course, Jason Statham's Adam Clay is also a quote unquote beekeeper, which is a secret alliance agency that has these operatives, agents, who are, I guess, the deadliest people on earth. When a beekeeper wants you dead, you die. Like deadlier than Navy SEALs, deadlier than the Yakuza. Like name the deadliest people on earth and they're deadlier. And so this Jason Statham was retired, but he comes back on the scene. He's like, no, fuck that. I'm going to find these people and burn them to the ground. And he does that. He finds them and he burns the office to the ground, which on how did this get made, they were like, Jesus, like that whole building wasn't just that one company. There were all kinds of companies in that building and they burned the fuck out of it. So it was like, yeah, he's just leaving destruction, laying waste, you know, which I like these kind of revenge movies, you know, where the no holds barred, you know, unrelenting type stuff in very creative ways to kill and die. But also it felt like he was just, it didn't matter and maybe I just wasn't watching it correctly. Like I wasn't paying close attention, but it was like, man, he's just like beating up and killing everybody in his way. Like good, bad, indifferent. Like he's just, everyone's in the way. You know, like the gas station which also there's a point on how did this get made, where it's like, you know, they send out another beekeeper, active beekeeper, to go find, track down Jason Statham, and kill him. And this person could not have been less discreet and stealth. Just coming in fucking red hot, loud, and in your face, just like from what she was wearing. Like, I mean, she looked fucking cool as hell. Like the shades, the jacket, just the hairdo, like everything from top to bottom was fucking cool. And like firing all kinds of like badass weaponry on this gas station and just like just not even thinking about anything. Just like, I'm gonna scorch the earth right here. And Jason Statham killed her in like 2 minutes. I was just like, oh, damn. She seemed like she was a cool character that you're going to see like pop in and out of the movie here and there. Like, he just can't seem to shake her. And I was like, nope, he kills her. And as he's leaving the gas station, I guess he flicks a match or something. And there's like, well, so he walks by the one pump and he sees a guy sitting on the ground and it's just a civilian, like normal innocent bystander. And the guy's like, tosses him the keys or something, like, or like, I'm going to need the keys to your car. And so the guy obviously gives it to him. So he's scared shitless, takes his car, and then the fucking gas station blows up. So that guy died. Like, there are plenty of times throughout the movie where, you know, in that, I guess the climactic scene where they're going to raid the party that the president is throwing, you know, that big shindig gala, he comes in and is blowing everyone away. Like, well, I guess he spared the one FBI partner, the partner of the agent who's the main agent whose mother committed suicide. And they showed his home life and it was like, man, his home life sucks. Like, he's got this new kid who's crying and like the mother or the wife wants no part of it. And it's just like, leaves him hanging. And so it looks like it almost thought they were going to push to have him end up with the agent that he works with, his partner. Felt like they were pushing towards that and it just never came to fruition. It was like, oh, you showed this. There's, you know, troubles at home. He has this, obviously, this like interesting, flirty to a certain extent, repertoire, rapport with his partner. And I just thought like, oh, they're going to get together. But no, it didn't happen. Yeah. So I mean, you know, there's the SWAT team that he takes down. What's crazy is like, these scenes where he walks up to like the SWAT team is there. They're like, we need to protect this place, you know, because this is where he's going to strike. The beekeeper's going to strike. Jason Statham just walks up with wearing a hat, a great disguise. And it's just like, yeah, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to kill the guy. And they're like, whoa. And so there's like, had to be a dozen fucking SWAT team guys and just Jason Statham. And yes, Jason Statham did some really sick shit. Like, it was really cool to watch, but it was like the same thing. Like, you remember that? I don't know if it was an actual clip or an outtake from The Dark Knight Rises, where it's literally a fight scene on the roof. It's a, you know, Christian Bale as Batman. He's surrounded by all kinds of bad dudes and he's fighting them off one by one. And you can just see like all these bad guys in the background who are just kind of either waiting or just falling down like they got hit, even though no one hit them. Because they have to have some kind of action and movement in the background. And of course, your eye is not drawn to that initially or ever until someone calls attention to it. And you're like, hey, pay attention to that guy in the background. He's fighting no one and he falls down like he got punched in the face. So it felt like that in that scene where it's like it's him versus 12 dudes. All, you know, it's like, you know, three of y'all can't like at the same time just bum rush them. So, you know, there were scenes like that, but, you know, you come to find out that the, Josh Hutcherson gives a pretty good performance as like the spoiled rich tech kid. You know, I think they really nailed that character down pat, where, you know, he's trying to do all this new age, like meditation bullshit and like sushi at the office and skateboarding around. And then, so he's ahead of this Danforth Industries, who's the kind of the umbrella corporation for this one scamming operation, which seemed unnecessary, given like the fact that that this corporation is just so expansive and big. Like, why would they fuck around with that and get on that level? But Jeremy Irons plays like a former FBI director, CIA director. So I think the CIA is in the mix. Mini Driver's with the CIA, I think. And so Jeremy Irons was former CIA director, and now he's like head of security for this Danforth Industries. And you find out that he does a lot of this because he owes a favor to this woman. And you don't really find out who the woman is until later on. That's the twist, is this woman happens to be the mother of Josh Hutcherson's character, and she's the president of the United States. So the president of the United States somehow got elected because she had the most money in her campaign. And she got most of the money in the campaign from her son, who'd been running this racket, this scamming operation. So, you know, it's a little leap of faith there. It's like, okay, all right. And, you know, Josh Hutcherson kind of goes off the rails while doing rails. Cocaine. And, you know, she can't control him. And so, yeah, it's Jeremy Irons just constantly being like, I'm going to do my job here, but you're going to end up dead. Saying this to Josh Hutcherson, like, like I said in the beginning, if a beekeeper wants you dead, you're dead. And so he just, that's like him just constantly throughout the movie reminding this guy, you're going to die. I'm going to do what I can do. I'm going to pull all the strings and whatever I can do in my power, but you're going to die. Like, this guy's going to kill you. So, So Jeremy Irons puts together this team of like the deadliest people on earth, you know, like I said, a lot of Navy SEALs, ex-military, all that jazz. And, you know, the beekeeper kind of tears through them all one by one. Jason Statham, he's got to protect the hive. So I think when I first watched it, I was like, oh, this is kind of like an elevated, silly action movie. Not, and by silly, I don't mean like fart jokes or something like that. I mean, like, you know, it's pretty straightforward. Like, it's just going to be a lot of ass kicking, but elevated in the sense that they really tried to tie in a lot of the themes from actual beekeeping. Like, a lot of stuff that you hear from Jason Statham and throughout the movie about bees and how they behave and how they try to protect the hive. Like, that was, he is essentially the human bee and trying to protect the hive. So I appreciated that. They, you know, added a little bit of spice flavor to it, which, you know, was nice. You know, it wasn't just like, you know, they could have very easily, okay, it's not a beekeeper. It's just a guy who's living on the farm. And his name is Jack Reacher. No, I don't know. You know, it's just like, at least they gave it a little bit more. There's a little more thought to it, a little more depth, if you want to say that. Like, I say elevated and more depth. You know, it still has the same kind of beats and structure as your classic, like, revenge movie. Very creative in the way that they have these fight scenes and whatnot. But the fact they were able to tie in the bee aspect of it, I thought was cool. So yeah, this program that Josh Hutcherson devised is able to pinpoint all these lonely seniors and take advantage of them. And that's used that money to fund his mother's campaign and won the White House and the presidency. That last scene at the beachside mansion, though, the fucking guy, is he Australian? What is he? I don't know. I forget. But He almost kind of looked like Wolverine, like old school, like the I guess Hugh Jackman in Deadpool 3 Wolverine with the yellow suit and just like the big mutton chops and like the wacky hair, black hair. Kind of, you know, people are saying that he looks like, kind of reminded them of Wolverine, but he was a fucking awesome character. He kept saying bro. He's a fucking deadly bro. I once fought a bee bro. Took my fucking leg bro. So that guy was fucking cool. And I like the fight scene he had with Jason Statham. Definitely pretty baller. So yeah. And the way they entered it, it's, you know, we probably got a sequel coming, I would think. But maybe not. I don't know. I mean, it definitely exceeded expectations, even for like the distributors themselves. Like I read somewhere, like, I don't know if it was Roadside Attractions or whoever was distributing in Australia was like, this shit's going to flop. No one's going to come to see it. So we're going to put all our efforts behind this other movie. And then this other movie flopped and this one took off. So it was supposed to go, I guess, supposed to go straight to streaming platforms. And then they saw that there were no big like action type movies in the first quarter of the year of this year. And so they're like, well, just release it then. People are probably going to be thirsting, got a hankering for that action. So let's just do that. And it paid off because it was like a kind of a surprise hit, you know? Yeah, they released it on January 12th. And then I ended up watching this.
What was it, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. So late April. Finally came around to it. On Prime, I think. So I'd recommend it. You know, I think the dialogue was the dialogue. It wasn't terribly cheesy or shitty. You know, a lot of they definitely played up the like B puns here and there, which that's low hanging fruit, but God damn it, sweet fruit. I like that fruit. Tastes good. So, I like the style. You know, Jason Statham. I'm watching this movie. I was like, I think I really like Jason Statham. I don't know why it's taken me this long to kind of come around on him, but it's like, damn, every movie he's in, I'm not initially like, ooh, Jason Statham, gotta see that movie. But then I end up seeing the movie and I'm like, this motherfucker, I don't know what it is about him, but he's just a likable dude. Like, it's just like, all right, yeah, Jason Statham, I dig it. So yeah, I liked it a lot. I didn't have like incredibly high expectations. And I know that people were kind of, it's weird. People are like poking fun at it, but they also like it. You know, it's campy without being like, it's cheeky and campy, but with great fight scenes. And it, you know, it's not trying to pretend to be, I don't think it's trying to pretend to be something it isn't. It's just like, we have this theme and we're just going to go with it. So some fun facts that I came across on IMDb. The International Movie Database. Due to the tight production budget, $34 million, which blows my mind. But then again, upon further review, now that I think back, yeah, that makes sense. $34 million is probably right on the money. And the majority of the film was shot in the UK to qualify for UK tax relief. And what's, you know, I think, how did this get made pointed out? It's like, so the beekeepers, is that an American operation? Because it seems like an American operation, but yet it's, there's like, Jeremy Irons is British. He doesn't hide his British accent in this movie. And he's the head of security for an American corporation, but he was a former CIA director. And then you have Jason Statham, British, top agent in the beekeeper organization, but I think, is that supposed to be an American organization? He's trying to protect the hive, trying to protect the American hive. So very curious about that. And like, there's even a scene, There were a couple of scenes where it's like blatantly, not blatantly obvious. It wasn't blatantly obvious to me. I didn't really pick up on it at first. Again, it kind of flew under my radar, but like that gas station scene, the sign showing the price of gas is clearly in British pounds rather than US dollars. So this whole movie is supposed to take place in Boston. I guess that's the major hub of all this like fishing seniors scheme. And so there was that scene, and then there was another scene at the lift bridge, which that was a fucking awesome scene. At the lift bridge was filmed in the UK, old bridge to the Isle of Sheppey in Kent. I mean that fooled me. I was like, this could be Boston. Yeah, sure. Been a while since I lived in that area. But oh dear God, dude. Just and also the first fight scene where they come, was it after or before? They come to the farm. What's his face? The bratty mafioso type kid. Brett? No, that's not right. Tracks him down. And they figure out that this is where it's coming from. And so they tracks him down. They shoot up like all the beehive. And then Jason Statham takes him down pretty much one for one in the barn area. And then ends up cutting off the dude's fingers. So he lets him live, but he cuts off his fingers. And then Jason Statham catches up with him later at this bridge. And drives the truck off the bridge and connects the like the little hook pulley system thing. You know, if you're trying to like pull something out of a ditch or gulch, you'd what do you call it? A hook with the rope. You tie it to the fender, the gate, and you reel it in. He attaches that to the dude's like belt or something and just fucking goes flying off the bridge. It's like shit, man. Wee. That's some good stuff. So what do the critics think? It was cheerfully undemanding and enjoyable retrograde. The Beekeeper proves that when it comes to dispensing action thriller justice, Statham hasn't lost his sting. So true. By the way, the fact that Jason Statham is 55, why on God's green earth did I think he's in his 40s? I don't know. But like, he doesn't look like he's 55. Holy shit. He looks like he's, you know, 40s, early 40s, like my age. He could pass for my age, right? So he still got it. The audience consensus on Rotten Tomatoes, fast-paced and full of action, The Beekeeper delivers everything Jason Statham fans will be looking for. Yeah, I agree. Critics gave it a 5 out of 10. With all critics, top critics gave it 5 out of 10. While all critics gave it a 5.9 out of 10. Verified audience members, on the other hand, 4.4 out of 5 rating, and all audience members scores 4.2 out of 5. 5 out of 10. What was it on IMDb? It was 6.4 out of 10. I think I gave it a 7. So I was closer to the audience than I was the critics. I think I initially gave it a 6 and I was like, nah, it's better than that. So 6 point, like IMDb, you can't give decimals. You can only give whole numbers, integers or whatever. So 6.4 is pretty much right on the spot. I was going to say right in that mid range of 6.4, 6.5, 6.6. But I ended up rounding up. I was like, yeah, it's a 7. It doesn't feel right giving it a 6. So yeah, I guess we can, based on the ending where he's like, he just jumps out the window. The FBI agent who was lead on the case and ended up tracking him the entire movie kind of has the shot and doesn't take it. So he jumps out the window. He got shot though, I'm pretty sure. Like, and it didn't look like one of those things where it's like, ah, tis bit of scratch. Like, it was not a, you know, flesh wound. It was just like, they shot him in the stomach, I think. Or like the heart. Like, what the fuck? But I guess he had some scuba gear stashed away by this beachside mansion where the party was having. The president was having a party. And, puts that shits on and goes beneath the water, and it's like he was never there. So feels like there's a sequel on the way, but maybe not. I mean, the fact that it is John Wick-esque in that there's this organization, right? John Wick belonged to this organization And like, we're just scratching the surface of the organization. Like the beekeeper hive or whatever extends out big time. And, you know, like they said on how did this get made? You might see what the beekeepers are like in Australia and in the Asian continent and like, you know, Africa and South America. So yeah, there's a lot more to be had there. And I'm not like butthurt or like pissed off that they're borrowing from John Wick. It's like, if it works, I don't think they're blatantly ripping it off. But it was just like, after I got a taste of those two, well, I guess that last guy was not a beekeeper. But I feel like there's a lot of characters, well, great characters that they introduced. And a lot of them didn't even have major roles, but it was like this, I kind of dig this world and I like to see more of it. So here's hoping. So that's the beekeeper. And that's the show. That's the episode. I still got to review Fallout. I still got to review Three Body Problem, which I just finished up. I think X-Men 97 might be wrapping up. So I might have to recap that, give my thoughts there. And then we got, there's always Mets and Giants talk, right? Always. And people have been calling for a life episode about life. So I need to get going on that. A lot to talk about, a lot to cover. But for now, you know, those two potent words. Adios, muchachos.